friends. It's us again. Thank you so much for joining us for the latest episode of What Page Are You On? It me, Bethany Arata, and I'm here with my good friend and business partner.
It me, Alex Slater.
Well, what we're going to do today is we're going to take you through the past and the future, and maybe the present too, because we are recording this towards the end of June, but it is being released to your ears in mid-July. So some of the books that we are going to talk about today, we are doing a roundup of things we've loved in the first half of the year, things we're looking forward to in the second half of the year. Some of the things that we talk about may have come out by the time you listen to this episode. So that's just our little disclaimer. So let's kick off with the past. Alice, we have, together with Alice, I've put together a top five.
It's a top five with a selection of honourable mentions.
Yeah, for different reasons. You know, of books that have come out this year that we truly love, some of which we talked about on the pod, but some of which we haven't. And we don't think that everyone listens to every episode religiously.
Yeah.
So if you want like a good little roundup and then you go away and read one and you think that sounds great, you can go back and listen to the episode about it.
Yeah,
so,
we'll try, where we can remember, we'll try and mention what episode they're actually in.
Yes. All right. Cool. Okay, I'm happy with my preamble. I feel like I've explained everything in absolute detail. Let's go.
Okay, so these are in no order, because I just literally jotted them on my phone now. Number one on our list is Lullaby.
By Leila Slimani. We did a whole episode about this book. It was our inaugural book club book, wasn't it?
Yes, it was.
Why do we love this book?
It was just a banger. We love thrillers. We love literary books. We love literary thrillers. I felt like it ticked all those boxes.
It was juicy as hell. Like, it was just juicy.
We did this with my workbook club, and they did not like it, which only fueled my fire to get more people to read it, because I think it's a fucking banger.
I think it's a fucking banger.
How can you not love it? I think it definitely has, like, a decent kind of open ending, in so much as the ending is completely closed, but it doesn't answer all the questions that it poses.
Yeah.
Which to me is a good thing. It's fine. I don't need everything to be spelled out for me.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
And just the writing is so, like, it's just so psychologically dense. It's so well constructed. I know everything about these people, apart from, obviously, the nanny, about whom I still feel there are gaping holes in my knowledge of her motives. But, we love this book. This was,
solid 10 out of 10.
10 out of 10 will probably remain on my books of the year list when we come to do this in 6 months' time.
Because that's the thing, the reason why we're doing it this way is that we will do an actual official top 10 at the end of the year, but you can't really do a top 10 at the first half of the year and then a top 10 in the second half of the year, because then people know what books you've knocked off.
Yeah, and that would be so awkward.
Exactly.
But also because I feel like books that you read in the second half of the year tend to be the ones that they're more in your mind when you come to doing your roundup. So I like that we're shining a spotlight on things that have happened in the first half of the year.
This is just like the actual unmissable titles that we've had so far. Number two on my list, I'll let you.
Number two, Fire Sermon by Jamie Quattro. Why do we love this book?
So we talked about this one in our Valentine's Day episode.
Yeah,
like unusual. No, what was it?
Yeah, it was like love stories.
Just like offbeat love stories.
Yeah.
And we love a book about an affair, and it's about a really, really
interesting,
passionate affair. Jamie writes like an absolute dream. Every chapter is stunning.
And she really like plays with form, different ways of telling the same story. She's a dream.
This book should have been on the fucking Women's Prize.
Yeah.
At least the long list. At least the long list. What the fuck?
There are many opinions I have about especially the Women's Prize long list.
Yeah.
To a lesser extent, the short list. But the fact that neither Conversations with Friends nor Fire Sermon were on either the long list or the short list, and my pet hate, Eleanor Oliphant, is completely fine, I just think is embarrassing. Like, I don't think it reflects badly on Jamie Quattro or Sally Rooney. I think it reflects badly on the Women's Prize.
And yeah, before the shortlist was announced, we did kind of quietly say that like the new direction of the prize would be determined by whether or not books like Eleanor Oliphant made it on the list.
Yeah.
And it did not, which I was
very pleased about. But yeah.
Not that I even, just to be clear, I didn't even hate that book.
Neither did I.
I just feel like the love that it's receiving is
disproportionate
to how good it was.
I don't think it's the worst book I've ever read, but the, yeah, as I...
What's
I
the agree. Worst book you've ever read?
I don't know. Where's the worst book I've ever read?
We'll do an episode.
Yeah, cool. Yeah, we will. yeah, so we love Fire Sermon, and it deserves so much.
Praise and love.
Praise, hype, love, sales, dollar, support, and endorsement. So we are going to give it at least support and endorsement if we can't give a dollar.
The next one on our little official top five is Women by Chloe Caldwell. Perfect little partner to Fire Sermon. This is also a book about an affair.
Which we discussed in the same episode.
Oh my god, which we did. We discussed in the same episode. Dream. Women is one, read in a day.
Yeah.
Read it on a sunny day in the park on your own. You'll have a fucking blast. I can't wait to reread it. I will reread it again this year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a cool, interesting, queer love story with an unnamed narrator. Much like Rebecca.
It's like the only similarity between those two books.
Yes, that is where the similarities end. Yeah, we loved it. It's juicy, it's compelling. It just does exactly what you want that book to do. Does it better.
Yeah. And I also, I think I really do love these like very, very succinct chapters. Each chapter is like a page or two.
Yeah.
Like, it reminds me of we said this already, but it reminds me of Pages for You.
Yeah, which is really an amazing book that I feel was overlooked in its time. And I'm hoping, you know, I'm hoping that it's doing good now, yeah, that its sequel has come out and it's been reissued with a nice matching covers. But yes, I agree. If you've read Pages for You, Pages for Her, and you liked them, you will love Women by Chloe Caldwell. And conversely, if you have read Women already because it came out recently and you like doing what we do, read Pages for You and Pages for Her by Sylvia Brownrigg, because they are absolutely wonderful. Next up on the list is Ponty by Charlene Theo.
Oh, Ponty.
Oh, Charlene.
Oh,
two fuck. Things we love.
So this is one that we haven't discussed on the pod yet, right?
Yeah, we will. We'll find a way.
It will come up, so we won't go into any detail. But Ponty is set in Singapore. It's about three women. A woman, her mother, and her best friend.
From her teenage years.
And that it's set in different time periods. So you have her mother in the 1960s, when she was a kind of star of some B movies called Ponty. The best friend in the present day as a grown woman, having lost contact with the family entirely, but they end up kind of coming back into her life through her work. And then the girl herself, like as a schoolgirl. So years after that, her mother had been in these films. I heard about it absolutely ages ago. I saw Charlene read, I was really psyched. I had no idea how much I would love this book, though, and I just completely loved it.
Agree.
It's just so good. It's just, it's about kind of loneliness and loss and the disappointment of life. Oh, God, it's just brilliant.
And the weird inexplicableness of mm-hmm. life. And, yeah, there's a couple of scenes in it that are just so memorable because they're like something from a dream, but they're presented as reality, and I can believe that they are real in the context of Ponty. I am so hyped for whatever Charlene does next.
I can't wait.
Me either.
Be quick, Charlene.
Yeah, step on it.
Get finger to keyboard. Come on. I mean, even like Ponty has been out like less than 3 months, I think, but it's been popping off. I feel like that it will be on a lot of the end of year roundups.
Yeah, agree.
Of course it will. The final one on our list of our like quick fire top five
is The Water Cure by Sophie McIntosh, which is another one that we haven't gone deep on in the pod on any episode, because we have an episode that we're going to do featuring this book. We have it in mind. It is on the cards. It will come out later in the year. It is, I'm going to just sell it on the basis of two other things I think are similar. It is like a really delicious mashup of Shirley Jackson and one of my favourite films of the noughties, which is Dogtooth, which is a Greek film. And if you've seen it and then you read this book, you will know why I feel like they are similar. So it's just very kind of dark and strange, but also kind of hopeful.
Oh, I just think it's beautiful.
Yeah.
It's beautiful. It's very dreamy.
Kind of Virgin Suicide-y.
Yeah, it's very Sofia Coppola. Like, yeah. You could feel, you feel her in there.
Maybe somewhere. She can do the adaptation.
She'd love to get her little paws on it.
Yeah. Right. If you're listening, Sofia, adapt this.
And this is another one I feel like, you know, we've had in our crosshairs for a really long time. I was so delighted to finally read it.
Yeah, because we talked about it last year, didn't we?
I think
we
was on our...
books we're looking forward to.
Oh, and so was Ponty, yeah. In fact. They were both, like, books that we were, like, highly anticipating. And they both delivered.
They truly delivered.
Yeah. It's wicked.
It's so good. I enjoyed it so much. I feel like it will really appeal to hashtag our demographic.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you generally enjoy the books that we enjoy.
See, I would describe it as, like, the girls meets... The girls meets something lusty. Yeah. Something lustier.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we don't know how to sell it to you, but...
No, I think you've nailed it.
We've nailed it. We've nailed
it. Like, if you like books about cults, if you like books about sex and sexuality and teenage girls...
Isolation. Yeah.
Because I think also, when I read The Water Cure, I had read a few books that superficially seemed like they would be similar... and missed the mark for me. So when I read this one, I was expecting to enjoy it, but I absolutely loved it.
Me too.
Cool. And in fact, that leads us... Oh, you know what? No, because we have some honourable mentions as well.
Let's do honourable mentions. So Okay. That's our official on-the-record top five that fiction. Both of us have read fiction-wise and loved, that we both loved. It comes from both of us.
Yeah, right? It's a joint list. But so, it was a very organically joint list.
We came up with these separately and brought them together. So our number one non-fiction banger of the year is I'll Be Gone in the Dark by Michelle McNamara.
Shocking no one.
Yeah. Coming as a surprise to absolutely no one. It is I'll Be Gone in the Dark, which if you have any interest in at all, just read it and then listen to the episode that we did with Grace and Emma from Foul Play magazine about it. It's about the Golden State Killer, also known as the East Area Rapist. It has very strong, very realistic content relating to both of those things. So if you do not want to read a book about a rapist or a murderer, do not read this book. If you're okay reading about both of those, I literally cannot recommend a better book. It will be like the definitive true crime book of the early 21st century. I will tell you that.
100%.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe wait till they reissue it with new real life information, if that interests you, but also maybe just read it as it was written in the first place. It does what it does well enough, and then you can just Google what happened after the book came out.
There is plenty of material on yes. subsequent.
The internet is not lacking in material about this case. So we've got a couple of separate honourable mentions.
So my first honourable mention is a short story collection, of which I read many, but talk about on the pod very rarely. But the best collection that I've read this year is a book called What It Means When a Man Falls from the Sky by Leslie Arama. This collection is amazing. There's one story in particular, the title story, which is very Atwoodian. So if you enjoyed The Power, The Handmaid's Tale...
Let's do an episode about it.
We'll just do an ep. We'll do an ep. But at the very least, I recommended you pick up this book and read that story. But it also has, like, there are stories that cover the kind of Girls Gone Wild subject matter, which, you know, is a passion of me and Bert's. It's one of those collections that kind of tiptoes between realism and the fantastic, and fantasy.
Fantastical.
What's the word I'm looking for?
What's really fantasy?
I don't know, it's fine, fantasy. I was thinking more like speculative.
You know? Okay, yeah, I know.
And it just has a bit of everything, and I absolutely pounded through it, and I'm excited for more people to read it.
Cool, maybe one of those will be me.
Maybe it will.
It'll be me. Right. That was one of my New Year's resolutions, was to read more short stories. And I'm doing okay.
I need to, like, recommend more to you. Foist them upon you.
Foist these books upon me.
That's our word of the app.
Yeah.
because Bert foisted some
bacon fries upon Alice, who doesn't eat meat, but they are vegetarian. So before anyone calls in to let us know,
to call me a damn hypocrite,
they are vegetarian friendly. Do you have another honourable mention, or do you not? You only have one.
I only have one that was a release of this.
That's fine. So then I will just go for one honourable mention. My honourable mention is Skin Deep by Liz Nugent, which I enjoyed so much I can almost not put it into words. So she's had a few books out in recent years that I know people have enjoyed, and I didn't read the one called Unraveling Oliver, and then I started to read one called Lying in Wait, and I didn't particularly enjoy it. And then Skin Deep came out, and my dad was just so enthusiastic about it that I was like, oh, go on. And even though I had quite a lot to read for the pod and, you know, various other things that I was doing, I still picked up Skin Deep, and I literally have no regrets. It is one of the best books I have read in such a long time. I can't really even describe it, but the plot is basically a kind of middle-aged woman living in Monaco. You join her at that point in her life where she has just killed someone in her apartment. And then it kind of flashes back to right at the beginning of her life, where she was living on this extremely remote island off Ireland, the country, with her family. And then it just traces her life from her childhood up back to where the point at which she kills a guy in her apartment. And it's just amazing. Like, it's a book where you read it and you just think, it doesn't matter what I write in my life, I could never write this. Like, it's just so good.
Holy shit.
I just loved it. And I feel like I haven't seen that many people talk about it. Or maybe they have, I just don't follow the right people. Anyway, I unreservedly recommend Skin Deep by Liz Nugent. It is fascinating, it is wild, it is thrilling, it is really shocking. Like, in parts, it is really, like, dark. And I loved it. I loved it, loved it, loved it.
I think it's wild that we haven't read each other's honourable mentions.
Yes.
Because we're not really very good friends.
Yeah, we don't, outside of these conversations, we don't really spend that much time together.
You know what this reminds me of? My mom was convinced for years that John Turow and
Greg Wallace
hate each other. So every time we watch a MasterChef, she'd be like, oh, they hate each other. You can see it in Turow's eyes. Oh, they hate each other. And then I told Alex this once, and he Googled it, and he was like, well, Turow was just Greg's best man at his wedding, like, last summer.
So I guess they do know each other a small little bit. So we are the Greg and John of podcasting.
I wish that was true. I'd be Greg.
Yeah, you would. So we're looking to the future now.
Yeah, enough of the past. We're done with those books.
Yep,
well, burn it to the ground. Apart from the ones that we will discuss later today. All right, so again, what we've got here is a list of 10 books that we're excited about. I have literally just been mooching around. I've been keeping a list for a while. I asked on Twitter if there's anything I should be excited about, and I've come up with a list of stuff that I think myself, Bert, and our esteemed listeners will enjoy. So we're just going to, like, race through and
chat about them.
Throw some names out there. Let us know if you're excited about any of them as well.
Because obviously we haven't read these books, so we can't go particularly deep on them in detail. But, you know, we can tell you why we're looking forward to them.
In fact, well, we've read some of them.
Oh, have we? It's good of us to look forward to books we've already read. That's nice of us.
Well, I'm looking forward to everyone else reading them.
Yeah, me too. That's half the joy, isn't it?
Yeah.
Until the hot takes appear.
I'm looking forward to them being bestsellers, and I'm not looking forward to seeing hot takes. I don't care if you don't like it.
Yeah. Never tell us if you don't like something. We literally are only interested in things that you like. We're very joyful people.
That's actually in, like, all aspects of
in life. Every possible way, we literally only want to talk about good things.
Okay. So number one on the list is a little book called Normal People by Sally Rooney.
So we both already read this book.
Yeah, we've read it.
Because we're some of those annoying people that get sent proofs. We are looking forward to this book coming out because it will probably be the best book of the year.
I think.
If not top five.
It will be one of the biggest books of the year. No
in
doubt.
Our hearts.
In our
and
hearts.
And everywhere else.
So, in a nutshell, Normal People is about a pair of normal people
A pair of normal people. Sorry, I thought maybe the listeners would hear paranormal people and then would be very confused.
Yeah, it's not got any aspects of the paranormal in it.
There are no ghosties.
So, a pair of normal people. It's about, starts off with a schoolboy and a schoolgirl.
Marianne and Connell.
You're so good at remembering character names. Yeah. It fucking kills me. It doesn't kill me, it delights me.
You, in many ways.
Unstoppable beauty.
Yeah, Connell and Marianne.
Connell and Marianne. Marianne is from a quite wealthy middle class background. Connell is from a working class background, and his mother works in Marianne's family home as a cleaner, which is how they know each other. In school, Marianne is a bit of a weirdo. She doesn't have very many friends. And Connell is one of the kind of more popular kids. But because they have this kind of slightly embarrassing, slightly shameful connection, no one really knows that they
know each other.
Then the book basically tracks their friendship and relationship through the next sort of 10 years of their lives. And it's just spectacular.
It is so amazing. And the reasons why it is spectacular and truthful would be spoilers. So we will just leave it at that, I think.
I think that it could be... I think it could potentially be bigger than Conversations with Friends.
Yeah, I think it probably will be, because I think it has more universal appeal, especially because men are frequently not very good at reading books that look like they are about and aimed at women. So I think that normal people may appeal to more people than Conversations with Friends did on that basis alone.
Yeah, like the books I would compare it to in terms of audience, not actual content, are those kind of like commercial fiction written by men but about relationships. So like One Day, for example, or who would be another book, like Nick Hornby.
Yeah,
you know, like I think it could sit there, like it's got such a,
in my opinion, it is a universally relatable book, and I feel like those are often the big ones that are perceived as universally relatable are often written by men. So yeah, this is...
Sally's gonna fucking crack it.
She has gone straight to the heart of the human experience. That is my review of Normal People.
Publish it on the cover. All right, that's number one.
Yeah, it's only all going downhill from here.
I know we should have really started with that one, but everyone knows we're excited about that. Okay, so the next book, again, these are in no order because I haven't got all of the publication dates. So number two is a book called Little Eve by my pal Katrina Ward. Little Eve is set on an island off the Scottish coast. It's about an isolated community, and at the very beginning of the book, a local who's there dropping off a delivery discovers a massacre.
Cool.
It is fucking juicy.
It sounds juicy as hell.
It's so juicy. It's very kind of dark, magical, grim, very edgy.
Uncomfortable.
It's
brilliant.
Uncomfortable, yeah.
I think feel uncomfortable.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like if you want to feel uncomfortable on your summer holiday, it's the perfect read.
That is the one emotion I'm going for. I'm on holiday.
I just want to feel like I'm not sure where to put my hands.
Yeah.
I want to feel a little bit like there might be something under my sun lounger.
Yeah.
I want to be looking over my shoulder when I'm by the pool.
Yes.
I'm really excited. And this one, we will... Bert hasn't read it yet, but we think that we will be doing it in an episode this year. So we will go into it in more detail when you're up to speed.
When the time is right.
Yeah. Also, I actually really love the cover, because the cover is kind of abstract and didn't make total sense to me when I first saw it. And when I started reading the book, I was like, oh, fuck, I see what that is now.
Cool. I love a clever cover.
Yeah, it's smart. Smart shit. Okay. Number three on our little list is Give Me Your Hand by Megan Abbott.
Do you know what? I never read a Megan Abbott in my life.
You know, I feel like we have this conversation about once a month.
I will.
Yeah,
I will.
You will. I am a massive Megan Abbott fan. She has kind of two sides to her career. She's got her thrillers, almost all of which are about teenage girls. But then she also had like a few kind of noir novels, like kind of... What's like? Yeah, like, I'm just waffling.
I don't know what you're talking
Raymond
about.
Raymond Chandler, what was he? Like, hard-boiled. Yeah. Like, yeah, okay. kind of hard-boiled, pulpy.
Detective-y.
Yeah, which does not appeal to me, so I've never read those.
I didn't know that she'd done that, so that's interesting. I don't think
they've even been published in the UK.
Oh, okay.
But I remember I was at an airport in America that had this massive bookshop.
Was it New Orleans?
No, but I was on my way back from New Orleans. It was, what's the place in Houston?
Washington. I just feel like everyone naming. Changes in Washington.
It's, yeah, no, this was Houston. It had this massive bookshop, and I was browsing. I'd never heard of Megan Abbott before, and there were about 10 books by her, and I picked up The End of Everything, which is one of my favourites. And I was really regretful when I discovered that half the books on that shelf had never been published in the UK, and this one had been. But actually, when I delved deeper, I'm not so interested in the, like, hard-boiled stuff. Anyway, Give Me Your Hand is set in the competitive world of science. They are scientists.
Yep.
It is about two gal pals who were close mates at high school. You know something happened that...
Wait, so are we talking about Busy Phillips and Michelle Williams gal pals or Kristen Stewart and her assistant gal pals?
Busy Phillips and Michelle. Like, just friends.
Literally gal pals, okay.
Yeah, just friends. Not gals being pals, yep. Just friends. Anyway, so friends at school, you know shit went down and they grew apart and then they haven't seen each other for, like, 15 years and then one turns up in the other's lab.
Cool.
It is so good. I ripped through it. I think we're going to have it as a book club choice.
Yep, I would like that.
Yeah, I think it would be a really good book club choice. I think a lot of Megan's books are overlooked because they focus on teenage girls.
Yeah.
To be perfectly honest, even though they're all thrillers, they're all banging. They're all very different as well. She's had one that was set in, like, Olympic gymnastics in that world, which was a wild ride, and I really enjoyed it. She's got one about set in cheerleading. Which...
So it's always about, like, kind of overachievers... going wild, under pressure. Is that kind of the vibe?
Yeah, I would say, like, two... I'm trying to think that I've forgotten one. But yeah, that seems to be an area that she...
is interested in.
Is interested cool. in. Particularly, I think, like, rivalry between women.
Yeah.
Because certainly The End of Everything has that kind of vibe as well. But
for fans of Cat's Eye by Margaret Atwood.
Oh, yes! In fact, The End of Everything is... a book that was very close plot-wise to the book that I spent my entire degree writing.
Oh, cool.
And she, like...
She did it.
She knocked out the park. Yeah. I was like, you know what? Megs, you can have it. Not bitter about that. Convenience Store Woman is the next on my little list by Sayaka Murata. Convenience Store Woman is a Japanese book. About a woman who, when she's about 18, kind of struggles to fit in, doesn't really have any direction, and everyone around her is really relieved when she gets a job in the local convenience store of a university. But then 18 years later, she's still in exactly the same job. She hasn't done anything else with her life. So it's a book about kind of that kind of societal pressure to achieve. But it sounds like, and I don't want to put you off, but it yeah. sounds like it has an Eleanor Oliphant vibe, because she struggles to fit in the world around her, so she copies people.
That was the bit that I like the most.
Yeah, right? Like,
that was the good bit.
We love oddballs.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, so I'm really keen on this. It looks like it's kind of dark, but also kind of funny.
Cool. I'm into it.
Yeah. I'm jazzed. I'll let you do one.
Okay, so next on our list, Days of Awe by A.M. Holmes. Much like I have never read a Megan Abbott book, I ain't never read an A.M. Holmes book.
I did not realise that was the next one on the list. That's cool. Why I said I'm giving it to you.
Tell me about it. Why are you looking forward to it?
So it's a collection of short stories.
That's why you're looking That's forward to it.
That's why I'm excited. A.M. Holmes, the only book I've read by A.M. Holmes was a book called...
The Donut One. Not the Donut One.
No, not the Donut One, but that is A.M. Holmes. The only thing I remember is that it has my name in the title.
Cool.
I can't remember what the book's called. Fuck.
An Alice book.
Yeah.
Some description. So why are we looking forward to this one?
So A.M. Holmes is really dark. Her writing is very visual and beautiful. In my head, I think that she writes very similarly to Megan Abbott.
Do you know what? I feel like for two people whose books I haven't read, I would never get them mixed up, but I pair them in my mind.
Who? Megan Abbott and Amy Holmes. Interesting.
Maybe because we've talked about it.
Well, I think it's because I've told you about the book whose name I can't remember, which has my own name in it. And it's kind of a reverse Lolita
style thing. Yeah.
It's really fucking dark. I read it a long time ago. But it really, really stayed with me. So yeah, I'm just jazzed. Cool. I like a short story collection.
You like short stories.
But I particularly like short story collections that could potentially get people who don't normally pick them up to pick them up.
Hashtag it me.
Yes.
We actually skipped one, which I am personally really looking forward to, which is My Year of Rest and Relaxation by Atessa Moshfegh.
That's the one I thought I was handing you.
You were handing me that. So yeah, My Year of Rest and Relaxation by Atessa Moshfegh, who my only backstory with her is having read the Magnifico Eileen, which...
Top of the pod last year.
Yeah.
Year before last. Was it pre-pod?
It was pre-pod.
Yeah, I'm just talking shit.
Eileen came out...
top of our personal...
way pre-pod. We didn't even... We weren't even friends. We were friends. But the pod was not even a twinkle in our eyes. So Eileen by Atessa Moshfegh bangs so hard, it is unbelievable.
Yeah.
And that is, I feel, plot-wise not similar, but when I was trying to sell Skin Deep, it's kind of like that, in that it has this thrillerish element, but just this overall cloak of darkness around it.
It is, an oppressive,
it's a world I don't want to live in.
Oh god, it's so good though.
So, based on that, I'm hyped for My Year of Rest and Relaxation, which sounds wild. Someone has explained what the book is to me, and it sounds wild.
So, in the prep for this episode, I wrote down some, like, notes about the plot of each book, just so that we could, like, you know, off the cuff describe them. All I've written down for The Year of Rest and Relaxation is the year 2000.
Cool.
That's all I've got.
The Y2K bug.
Yeah, it's Y2K.
Cool. Okay, well, we're looking forward to it.
That's all I need.
Despite knowing nothing about this book.
Next on the list is one that I am so freaking jazzed about. I'm really excited. It's called My Sister the Serial Killer by Oyinkan Braithwaite.
I love it based on the cover.
The cover is banging.
The cover is so banging.
Describe the cover.
So, it's a attractive young black woman wearing cool sunglasses, and the title is written in like this acid green font.
It looks amazing.
It looks so good, and like, I will judge a book by its cover.
I live to judge books by their covers.
Just make covers cool, and then everyone will think your book is good.
And this one, so it's a satirical slasher about Nigerian sisters, one of whom is a regular gal, the other whom is a serial killer.
How good does that sound?
Sounds banging. That is not out till November, though, so we have essentially our lifetimes to wait until we can read it.
Yeah. Hopefully someone can slide a proof our way. Who's publishing it? Do we have any friends there? Slide it our way, if you're listening and you have some power over this. Because we do occasionally, or at least I occasionally, read books by men. Very occasionally,
never.
Unlike Alice, I do read books by men. I am really, really looking forward to the new book by Roberto Saviano, which is called The Piranhas. Roberto Saviano wrote the extremely popular and culturally significant account of the Camorra branch of Italian organized crime, which is called Gomorra, turned into a very well-liked film. He has been living under police protection for the last 12 years of his life. His life will never, ever be normal again. He is so profoundly suffering the consequences of writing on this subject in Italy that he will never again live a normal life. Isn't that the wildest thing you've ever heard?
That is so wild.
Yeah.
Especially because my first thought was like, well, presumably he's like, you know, on a island somewhere sipping margaritas, because that's what they do in movies, but he's probably in like Milton Keynes.
He's very much the opposite.
Yeah.
He's very much living in Italian Milton Keynes with about 50 security guards. So Piranhas is about child gangs of Naples. Brutal little shits doing terrible things because what else do they have to do? So that's what I have gleaned about the subject matter of the new Roberto Saviano book. I think it sounds really interesting and I'm really looking forward to reading it.
I'd imagine it's going to be huge as well.
I'd hope so.
Because he's not written anything since.
He deserves it, you know, like he's suffered enough. to have his book bomb would just be too far.
I'm terrified at the thought of how do you go that deep undercover and yet remain in the same country?
Yeah, and, like, I know what he looks like, so...
Do you think he wears, like, a prosthetic nose every day?
Yeah, maybe. A different one every day and different cool glasses.
I feel like that would draw more attention to you if every day your nose is morphing, like Tonks from Harry Potter.
Yes. Yeah, that's one way to stay stealthily undercover.
We've learned that you would not be good at being undercover.
That would be very bad.
Mixing your look up too much.
I'd be posting selfies literally every day with a location tagged as well. So, would you like to tell me about the Daisy Johnson book? Because I haven't read Fen because I'm a damn fool.
Well, so Fen is a short story collection, so I am not surprised you haven't got to it yet, but you will.
I will, I will.
You will.
Life is long.
Life is long and books are sweet. There's lots of them. Lots of them that we haven't read yet, so I forgive you. Everything Under is Daisy Johnson's debut novel that's coming out this year. Again, in making my notes, I've just written down the word lexicographer. From what I can understand, having a quick look on the internet about Everything Under, I would describe it as the kind of novel I would expect Ellie Williams to write.
Yeah, the word lexicographer, a very Ellie Williams word.
So it's about a woman who works as a lexicographer, and in the kind of quiet humdrum of her day, surrounded by words, she starts to remember her childhood, in which she lived in a canal boat with just her mother, and they spoke to each other in their own language.
Cool.
So it's a book that clearly is going to be very kind of playful with language. It's going to have a lot of fun words in it. I am really excited. I think Daisy Johnson has the most incredible way with words anyway, and this is like a playground for that.
Cool.
Writing style.
This makes me look forward to reading Fen even more.
Again, you know, with Fen, If you just read one story, read Blood Rites.
Okay,
cool. It's like one of my all-time favourite short stories. It is amazing and I think you'll really dig it.
Cool. So we have one more book that we're looking forward to.
One more. It's a non-fiction.
Oh, no. Yeah, it is, kind of. I don't know. Is it non-fiction?
Isn't it?
I don't know. Well, so our final book is Mrs. Gaskell and Me by Nell Stevens, who wrote Bleaker House, which came out last year, which is such an interesting book, and I enjoyed it so much. I think Nell is so great. I'm interested in whatever she does next, which is Mrs. Gaskell and Me. I just received a proof of it in the post the other day, so I should have read the back and been able to tell you whether this is fiction or non-fiction. Alice says it's non-fiction, so I'm going to believe Alice. But I know it's told across two timelines. Two women, two love stories, 200 years apart, I think is, like, the tagline. Which I just think sounds great. And I'm on board with it. Because, like, Bleaker House was non-fiction interspersed with fiction. So it kind of could go either way.
Yeah, it's non-fiction.
Cool.
So it's about Nell did a PhD.
The real Nell Stevens from the real world.
Nell Stevens did a PhD, and it is interspersed with the trials and tribulations of her PhD, which involved Mrs. Gaskell in some way. And Mrs. Gaskell Hassan, Elizabeth Gaskell, as she was
known to her friends,
as she was fleeing. I was about to say the Romans, but I don't think, I'm trying to skim read, I don't think she was fleeing the Romans. Either way, yeah, it's non-fiction. The cover is amazing. It matches Bleaker House and I really like it.
Yeah, I love that cover design. So yeah, I'm looking forward to that on the basis of how much I enjoyed Bleaker House and how interesting I found it. And I'm rooting for Nell. I think she's a cool gal. Yeah.
Banging.
That's what we're looking forward to.
We'd love to know what you're looking forward to.
Either things that we've talked about or things that we haven't talked about. I'm sure all of you are looking forward to Normal People.
I feel like that must be the most successful campaign for a book ever, because it is literally everywhere on the internet. If it's not people posting pictures of it proof bragging, it's people asking where the fuck they can get a proof from.
Yeah, it has. Yeah.
Well done,
Faber. It's been divisive. So yeah, hit us up. You know where to find us. Same place as always. Tell us what you're looking forward to. Tell us what has come out in the first half of this year that you particularly enjoyed. That's kind of it. That's all from me. That's all from Alice. We'll see you next time.
Bye. Goodbye.